Good morning, everyone. My name is Pastor Dell, and I'm the senior pastor here at Long Grove Community Church. I trust that you enjoyed the worship time this morning with Luke and the songs that he shared. Maybe if you were even driving in your car, my prayer is that you were worshiping to the extent and jamming out so well that people were staring at you because they thought you were crazy. But it's just really wonderful that we can gather together today in this virtual setting, if you will. I know with the current situation and the climate of things in our society and our world, it's really caused us to kind of reassess and redo how we do or how we approach church. Nobody expected to be gathering together online like this just a few weeks ago, but yet here we are. And I think it's great and a great way for us to connect with each other, to know that we're all sitting together today, worshiping together, sitting in the service, so to speak, together. And I think that really just brings a sense of community and a drawing together for everybody. I'm really excited about being able to share with you today because really we are facing just something that no one's faced before on this level, probably in our generation. I do remember when 9/11 happened and it kind of put our nation on its heels. And even the world, so to speak, but really not to the level like this has, this coronavirus. Many of you have expressed concerns. I just have to give a lot of praise, I guess you'd say, to our elders and to our staff, because a lot of them have been connecting with you and we've been able to hear where you're at, what's going on with you. We're checking in on many of the people that call Long Grove home. And we're finding that just many of you are concerned. There's a lot of questions. There's just a lot of uncertainty circulating around right now, and understandably so. This is a very serious thing, and obviously by the measures that we've taken to shelter in place here in our state of Illinois, it shows the level that this thing is at. And so many people are on their heels, and unlike 9/11, it seems that this may just go on a bit longer, and it's affecting people, I think, on a larger scale. So it is something very different. And so even as a church, we're trying to adapt and overcome obstacles of how to communicate, how to just gather together when you can't physically gather together. So we're utilizing things like Zoom. I know Pastor Tony did a Zoom get-together or Bible study with the dads group here at the church, and that went really well. And so we are adapting, and that's what the church does. The church adapts to whatever setting it's in. It's done that throughout history since the beginning of its existence. And it's just amazing to see how God is using even something like this and still working and moving amongst the body of Christ through this time. Today, the message I want to share with you is entitled, How to Win Over Worry. And I'm sure that that applies to many today, and even to myself, even in preparation for this message today. It really just was speaking to my heart and speaking to some of the concerns that I had in my own life and the life of my family and just how we're doing life together. And so my prayer and my goal today is to just to be able to share the Word of God with you, to share what God's put on my heart. And I pray that it brings encouragement, that it brings hope, and that also, as the Word of God should, that it challenges us in areas that we need to grow in our faith and our walk with God. And so know my heart as a pastor is that I love you. I care for you deeply. I'm praying for you. But also, I want to share the scripture and to bring out the points and the things that we need to maybe hear and be reminded of at times, because we can get so caught up in what's happening and what people are doing around us, we sometimes get our eyes off of Jesus and we move away from what we know our walk should look like. And so as we begin our time today, I really just want to pause for a moment and let's pray together. And so I encourage you, wherever you're at, as long as you're not driving, you can keep your eyes open. But if you're at home, if you're with your family, I just ask that you grab the hand of the person that's next to you in your home, or if you're by yourself, that's fine. But I would ask that just bow your head and close your eyes and really enter in here into this time as we pray together. Would you bow your head? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity, God, for us to gather together for this time. God, I pray just for this message. I pray that you will use it, that you will take it, and just, God, bury it deep within our hearts. God, let the words that come out of my mouth be your words. I pray that it lands on good soil, Lord, in our hearts. And God, that we would take this today, not just hear it well, but actually apply it and put it into action. So God, I pray for each person listening today. I pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding, Lord, would just be present in their lives right now, regardless of where they're at, what they're doing, or what's on their mind. God, I pray at this moment, God, that there is peace, that they can hear your word, God, that over all the other noise of everything going on around them, and God, that you would just minister to us today. Thank you for this time and this opportunity, Lord, to share. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Philippians in chapter 4. We'll eventually get there, but that's where we'll be primarily pulling from today. But the interesting thing that I've noticed, and some of you who know my story, my family and I just recently came back from the Middle East after living over there for almost a decade. And so during that time, as you can imagine, you're faced with many different things that you typically maybe wouldn't face here in America or even in the Western culture in general. And so during that time and living in that kind of setting, we really found many times where our faith was being stretched, where we were facing times of uncertainty or things that were happening, oftentimes unplanned. They just come crashing in and we would have to adapt, and with my family, but also even with the church there in general. And that really, I noticed, really helped my faith and the faith of many of the believers around me, including my family, to grow without even realizing it, because you're being faced with having to step in and rely on your faith every day, oftentimes every day. And the interesting thing for me is coming back to the States and seeing just people and seeing kind of people's responses to this, I've just really been trying to study and to think about, like, what's going on exactly and what's happening. And I believe that for many of us here in America, the reality is our faith is seldom stretched. If we want a light bulb on or electricity, we just flip a switch. If we need food in our pantry, we just go and buy it, right? I mean, for many of us, if we need, if we get sick, what do? I mean, how often really do most of us stop when we have a headache and say, God, would you heal me of this headache? No, typically we just go to the pharmacy or just to our medicine cabinet and pull a couple of pills out, throw them in their mouth, and hey, the headache's gone. And that's fine. And I'm grateful for modern medicine. I think God has blessed us with doctors, and I'm not against that at all. But my point is how often are we really stretching and working our faith? I think for many of us, and oftentimes, if we're honest, our faith has probably become shriveled and weak. Much like if you don't go to the gym or you don't exercise, your muscles become soft, and some of us get a little bigger, don't we? And we get a little out of shape. Well, that's the same with our faith when we're not exercising it all the time. And so it's only in times like these where a rare direct threat lands on our doorstep that we see in what or in whom our faith really resides. During this time, we're seeing people look for different answers and different things in different places. But we as believers, and if you call yourself a Christian and a follower of Christ, our faith always has to come back, and it needs to be grounded in Jesus Christ. That is where our faith lands. We need to constantly be coming back to Scripture and looking at Scripture and filling our minds and our hearts with the Word of God more so than what we see on the news. Many, many, many believers, long before us and even in our time, go overseas and go into hostile environments to share the Word of God. Back in the day, I remember one friend telling me about missionaries. They would literally pack all their things in a coffin because when they went to the mission field, they knew that they would die on that mission field. And so they would just pack everything, and that was how they would return back home, was in a coffin. And they were prepared for that. Now, for us, again, in the States, we don't think that way. We don't think about going out to a far-off place or to a mission field, you know, and be faced with those things. But it's interesting when things end up on our doorstep, how we process and what we do. I love this quote from George Whitefield. He says, "We are immortal until our work on earth is done." Just think about that for a minute. We are immortal until our work on earth is done. Who thinks like that? I mean, could you say that today? Could you really say that you believe that today? We are immortal until our work on earth is done. But the reality is, and if you get what he's saying, is that our faith should be such that we walk and go places and we do things and we engage with people in such a way that we trust God no matter what the situation dictates, to the point of, God, when it's my time to go, I trust that you will take me when it's that time and not a moment earlier. And if we truly believed like this and truly had a faith such as George Whitefield's, how would we be living our life now? What would it look like? You see, the COVID-19 pandemic is really paralyzing many with fear and worry. It's paralyzing. I see it. I talk to people. When I have to go to the grocery store, I see it in people's faces. People are just afraid, including much of the church. And my question today is why? Why are we afraid? I think a few reasons that I've listed that I'll cover now. One is change, isn't it? Change. Many of us, there's a change in our lifestyle, how we get to go around and get to do what we want to do, go to the gym, meet with our friends, go out to eat, do whatever we want. That's changed. Education has now gone to online. Many of you used to mock maybe the homeschool crew, but now you all are homeschools, right? Homeschoolers. People are having to adapt and do school at home with their kids. And, you know, we're praying for each and every one of you who are in the house with your kids who can't get out and do a lot of things. I know it's hard, but our education has changed. The way we do business in general, right? You can't go to the places. Not all the businesses are open. You can't just get on Amazon and get something the next day. Now everything's delayed. It's changed, and change is causing many to be worried and have fear. Another reason why I think we have worry and fear is just a loss of control, right? A loss of control. The reality is, if we look at it, we never are in control. In a moment, something can happen, can come crashing in your life. And if you've been around for any kind of time on this earth, you know for a fact that just life happens, as we say. Whether it's a diagnosis from a doctor or a car accident or just anything, a stock market crash, right? And all that hope you had in your finances is now gone. The reality is we are not in control. We just think we have control, but it's just an illusion. And another reason why I think that there's fear and worry circulating so much is just and this is probably the crux of it, if you will, is just a general uncertainty of the future. I know for many of you, that is probably, I think, the greatest thing and the hardest challenge that you're facing today is uncertainty of what's to come. Well, your finances, for example, and like I mentioned already, the stock market is up and down, up and down. You never know. It depends on what hour of what day you look at it, what it's going to do. And so many of you are questioning, what about my future? What about my financial status? Perhaps sickness, obviously, with the virus itself. Many people, the extreme measures we're taking are to avoid becoming sick or becoming infected. And that is causing us fear and worry. And finally, and ultimately, as we've seen many unfortunately experience through this virus, is death. And for those who don't know Christ or haven't professed their faith in Jesus Christ, you know, their future is uncertain. But for many of us, and for many of you watching today, who call yourselves Christians and are Christians, sometimes we can lose sight of what the promise is. Now, while nobody wants to raise their hand and sign up to die, the reality is our future is secure in Christ Jesus. And so we shouldn't fear that. Again, not that we go look for it. And I want to be sensitive today. I don't want to come across harsh or in a way that's not understanding, because I mean all of us go through these times of just growth and questioning and trying to work our way through. And so I don't want to come across in a way that's arrogant or anything, but I'm saying this also to myself is to encourage us that we need to refocus on the hope of our future. And throughout Scripture we're constantly promised of keeping our eyes on the prize, on the goal, to finish the race well, that we are only pilgrims passing through this time and this place. Our home is not here, but with Christ. So fear and worry, I keep using these terms, and they're very closely related. Fear, when left undealt with, leads us to worry. And so we will talk today about both. So you'll hear me talk about fear and worry both. And so now let's open the scripture today to Philippians 4, if you're already there. And I'm just going to read verses 4 through 7. And if you saw, there was a video earlier with me and Pastor Bill, and I covered some of this already, but it's such a good passage. And so I really wanted to unpack it today in our time. But Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, I'll be reading from the ESV, says this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a great passage of Scripture? I love the part that says the Lord is at hand, meaning he's very close, and that we should not be anxious about anything. As we look a little closer about worry, I love this quote by Corrie ten Boom, who her and her family helped many Jews survive, actually, through the Holocaust. And she said this. She said, "Worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear." Just think about that. So at the center of it is fear, but around that are all these thoughts. And maybe you can identify with that today. Maybe you can relate with that today. With everything going on, just that your thoughts are just spooling. When you go online, you go on your social media, you see all of these things that are happening. And you actually, in our day and age, you see other people's thoughts, don't you? And you see just like how these thoughts can just whirl and get out of control. You see, but the problem, though, is that worry ultimately leads people away from God. When you worry, you're not putting your hope and putting your faith in God. It actually leads us away. And at the end of the day, worrying is futile. Worrying does absolutely nothing about your situation. In Matthew 13, verse 22, it says this. It says, As for what was sown among thorns, meaning the word of God, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. That means that there's people that hear the word of God, it lands there in their heart, so to speak, but because of the cares of the world, which is much like what we're seeing, where people care about the things that really are just temporary, not eternal, those things can consume and actually choke out the word. And an interesting point there, too, is it says the deceitfulness of riches, and that's kind of in our culture what we sort of have, right? Meaning that we are a very wealthy nation. Most of us do very well. We're in the top percentage of the world as a whole of our income. And really, that can actually choke out the word because we begin to rely more on our riches and our wealth than on God. So what are some of the causes of worry? Well, one of them is being world-centered, meaning we focus so much on the things that we see and what we do in our day-to-day life, and we lose sight of the fact that we're actually pilgrims passing through, so to speak. This is not our home. Heaven is our home. Eternity with Christ is our home. This is not our home, but we can become so focused because the volume can be so loud and deafening in the world, and especially with social media and just how connected we are today, everything kind of comes crashing in, doesn't it? Another cause of worry is lack of confidence in God. When we begin to worry, what is that saying? It's saying that we don't really have the confidence that God is going to do what he says he's going to do, or that he's going to sustain us through a time. It's really making our image and picture of who God is become very small, and our problem become very big, where our time when we engage in the word and in prayer, we begin to make God very big and recognize him for who he is, and then our problems become very small. Another cause of worry is abandoning God. Much like the prodigal son who left the father, you know, and went off into the world, it's kind of a similar image where some people have kind of walked away and said, I'm going to do it on my own. Maybe they got upset at God for something that's happened in their life. Maybe that's you. And you kind of walked away. And so you're saying that now you're going to carry the burden and carry all of these, the weight of everything that's happening and the concerns, and you're going to do it on your own. But the reality is at some point you will burn out and you will run out of strength. Another cause of worry is basically at the end of the day, fear. And that's the thing I really want to focus on in here for a moment is again, going back to that quote from Corrie ten Boom, is that worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. I have this image of like a tornado, right? And at the middle is fear, and these thoughts are going around it, but fear is really the source of it, isn't it? When that fear enters in, it's our thoughts begin to run out of control and spool out of control. And so we can't really talk about worry without talking about fear, because fear, to me, is the source. Now, in life, there are three kinds of fear. One type of fear is a life-saving kind of fear, meaning you come to the edge of a cliff or the edge of a building, there is a fear that comes on you of what? Falling off and basically dying, right? So that fear kind of preserves your life. It keeps you out of danger. And so that's a good kind of fear. Another kind of fear, as we read in Scripture all the time, is there's a thing called the fear of the Lord. That's a holy and reverential kind of fear, even like with your parents, like that respect kind of, we would call it fear, maybe depending on the household you grew up in. But fear, that's a good kind of fear, having respect or reverence. And then the last kind of fear, and the fear that we're sort of dealing with and dialing in on today, is this spirit of fear, this paralyzing kind of fear that consumes us. And that's really what we see happening all around the world today and around just our city, our state, our country. We're seeing people just consumed with fear, and they're doing crazy things because of it. They can't help but talk about anything besides that. So what are some characteristics of fear? Well, one is fear is vision, really, without any hope. I get a little irritated sometimes when I hear people criticize others for giving people a false sense of hope. Well, if we don't have hope, then what do we have? In Christ, we always have hope. And we need to remember that with Christ, anything is possible. And He is the one who sustains us. Another characteristic of fear is it only has one destination, and that destination is the worst possible outcome that you could imagine. Now, oftentimes, if we're honest with ourselves and we look at situations where we've been afraid or been basically saturated in our thoughts about how it's going to work out and that fear creeps in and kind of consumes us, ultimately, most of the time, those situations turn out much better than we initially would have expected. But when we walk in fear, it's always going to be the worst possible outcome in our mind. Another characteristic of fear is it turns us from selfless to selfish. Okay? I don't need to go any further but then to roll a clip of all the mass hysteria about going and getting toilet paper. I don't know what the deal is with toilet paper, but people just went out of control and they bought and consumed massive amounts of toilet paper to hoard it in their homes. Now, if that's you, you have the benefit of not being in service today with the person sitting next to you and feeling like people are staring at you. Just keep looking at me right now and just listen. Here's what you can do. Go get some wrapping paper and start wrapping up those rolls of toilet paper and go to your neighbor's homes and just put them down on their doorstep as a gift. That's how you can fix this situation if you are that person that has 52 roll or packages of toilet paper in your closet right now. Share it with those people around you, and by doing so, you're spreading really great things to everyone and being kind, and you're being selfless. In verse 5 of our passage here, again, it says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone," and in these moments of selfishness, that's not being reasonable. That's not being a witness to the people around us. Fear, if left undealt with, causes us to worry or become anxious, doesn't it? Fear is what really brings about the worry and the anxiety. And in verse 6, again, we have to remember this is Scripture and this is what is our standard in life. And it says, do not be anxious about anything, about anything. Matthew 6:27, it says, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Which a single hour? I mean, even a single breath. Really, we think we have control. We think we can continue to sustain that the next moment is a given, and it's not. The reality is every moment, every breath of every day is a gift from God. And worrying and being anxious can't add anything to that. So how do we combat fear and worry? Well, we must know how to deal with them properly. Because they will come. Fear will come. Worry will come. We cannot get past that. And one of the images I like to look at is Jesus when he was in the garden. And just prior to his going to the cross. And he's burdened down with so much anxiety and concern. Because he's really, by his own free will, walking to his death. And the weight of that just was on him. And so we see, what does he do? He goes, gets on his knees before the Father, and it says that he was so stressed and so concerned that he was sweating drops of blood. Scientists say that there's actually a physical condition where that could actually happen, but it's such a high level of stress that most don't ever experience it. Now, I promise you, whatever we're facing today, the concerns we have pale in comparison to what he had to go through, what Jesus went through. Remember, Jesus was fully God, but fully man, meaning he experienced all of our pain, all of our hurt. But it was, what an image, though. Here he is crying out to his father, Father, if there be any way for this cup to pass. What is that saying? That he didn't want to have to go. He understood that he needed to, but the weight of it all and the concern and the worry was so great. But at the end of it, what did he say? He said, not my will, but yours be done. And so it shows us, we know that Jesus was perfect. He did not sin. So he experienced these same kind of feelings that we have. But what did he do? He went to the Father in prayer. So prayer is the key. And I love Pastor Tony's sermon last week about prayer. And if you haven't watched that or heard that, I encourage you to go take a look and have a listen. But prayer is the key. And in verse 6 there, it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, some of you maybe are wondering how to pray at this time. Maybe you sit down, you just don't know kind of how to go forward. Well, for me, oftentimes I've found what's called the ACTS model to be very helpful. ACTS is an acronym. And the first letter of the word ACTS, A-C-T-S, A being adoration. So when we come to God in prayer, we give adoration. We praise him. We worship him because he's deserving of it. Because if we look through the Psalms, we see all through the Psalms just praises and just recognizing God for who he is and worshiping him as God. The C in that model stands for confession. We need to confess sin as we come into a time of prayer. We need to confess what we've done wrong. We need to confess those things, even where we've slipped into fear. It's okay. We're people. We're human. We make mistakes, but we just need to confess those things to God. Then we come to the T, which is Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving is simply thanking God. When was the last time that you just went to God and just thanked him for all of his goodness and mercy and kindness in your life and all of the great things that he's done for you? Even during this time, have you thanked him for the opportunity to spend more time with your family as our society has slowed down tremendously? You're not running ragged trying to get your kids to the 50 sports that they play. Be thankful that you woke up this morning with breath in your lungs, that your family is with you, that you have food on the table. Find things to be thankful for. And lastly, S is supplication. And that's just a fancy word for bringing our concerns before God. This is the time after you've done these other steps. Now you bring your needs, your wants, your desires, your concerns before God. And he will hear you. I personally, I call the model that I use Axol. I add an L at the end. And we need to remember at the end of that time, we need to build in space and time to listen. And that's what the L stands for. You can't have a conversation if only one person talks. Oftentimes we run into our time with God, to our prayer time, and we do all the talking, but we do very little listening. And so I encourage you, after you spend time with God, to build in some time just to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. Open your Bible and spend some time reading Scripture and let the Scripture speak to you. Let God speak through his word, because he will. And give time to listen. But the big thing to remember is that when we spend this time in prayer, that there must be a transfer of our burden from us to God. We don't just sit there and complain about it, but we actually say, God, I give this to you. Take it from me. And I will no longer pick it up and carry it myself. Let me just tell you this. Nothing that we face in this lifetime is greater than our God. And we have to always remember that to be the case, that our God is greater than whatever virus, whatever situation, whatever anything that comes our way in life, our God is greater. How else do we combat fear and worry? Well, again, as we see in verses 5 and 7, we need to enjoy God's presence and his peace. Verse 5, as I mentioned earlier, the Lord is at hand, meaning he's close. We are going to go through challenges in life and through trials in life, but we need to remember that some things in life we just have to go through. But the good news, the great news, is that God promises to never leave us or forsake us. Sometimes we just need to be in God's presence. And that's why when we go to God in prayer, it's not just about saying all the right things or doing the right things. It's about actually just stopping and resting in the very presence of God. And just to be in his presence is helpful, it's fulfilling, it speaks to us, and it removes fear and worry. You think of if it's your father, that person in your life that you feel really secure around, maybe growing up it was your dad or somebody else, and something about when they enter the room or if you were in a situation and that person shows up and you just knew everything was going to be okay. It's the same with our Heavenly Father. We just need to spend time in His presence. And in verse 7, again, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You see, that's what we're seeking. That's what the world is seeking, is peace. But we will never find peace with one another or in our lives until we first find peace with God. And I love how this says that peace surpasses all understanding. What does that mean? It means that while our mind says there's just chaos and crazy around us, somehow in the middle of that, we can have this peace in our hearts. This peace of God. And the great thing about that is that is really what becomes a witness to many people. As many people watch how you walk through this time of uncertainty, when they see someone that stands out because somebody has peace in their heart regardless of all the chaos and crazy, they stop and say, what's the deal? Why do you have such peace? Why are you so calm about this? And that's our opportunity to say, well, let me tell you. It's because of Jesus. And my relationship with Him, that I have peace in my heart. And while I may not understand it all or have the answers, I know He does, and my hope and faith are in Him. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, you keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because He trusts you. And so while, again, the world says, feed off the media, feed off the news, feed off Facebook, feed off of all these reports, you know, our minds, again, good to be informed, good to use wisdom, but we must feed and fill our minds with the Word of God and the promises that come from Him. And the rest of verse 7, it says, and that will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As many of you know, I was in the military, in the Army, and I worked on helicopters. And while I was deployed to Iraq, there was a helicopter that had went down due to a mechanical issue, and it was fine. It didn't crash, but it landed. But we had to go out and try to fix this helicopter. And so when we arrived on the scene, there really wasn't a lot of people around. And so we landed in our helicopter, got out, and we were trying to assess and figure out how to fix this thing. And I was a little nervous because you could hear gunfire in the distance. And I mean, this was wartime. And so, trying to do my job, trying to assess the situation. And I remember that the MPs had showed up, the military police, and they had some Humvees with some guns on them and things. And it was good. There was quite a few. And they were kind of built, set up a perimeter around us to guard us while we were working. But I was still pretty nervous because of, we just didn't know what could show up at any time. But I'll never forget when I heard like this rumble and I was like looking around, what is that? And over this hill, all of a sudden came a few Abrams tanks, M1 tanks. And it was like, wow, that brought such a peace even in that situation, because now it's like, now we got the big guns out, so to speak. And it was really just a sense that yeah, it's okay, because if anything happens, if anybody tries to approach us that is not friendly, these guys are going to handle their business. And so, again, that same kind of thought here about guarding our hearts and minds, where's that guarding in? It's in Christ. So we are in Christ, and so our hearts and minds are guarded. And again, to the 23rd Psalm, if you recall, it says, you prepare a table before me, where? In the presence of my enemies. And that's such a beautiful image that it means that we're going to have enemies. We're going to have things in life that come in that are fighting against us, but yet still Christ is preparing a table before us that we can find peace and comfort, and that He is guarding us amidst those times. See, troubles will come in this life, and there's no way around it. If you look out at the landscape of like the Rocky Mountains and say, wherever there's mountains, there's usually valleys. And the reality is we can't live on the mountaintop forever. We're going to find times in life where we do go through the valleys. But the good news is as again it says, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it says, I will fear no evil, right? Why? Because Christ is with us through it all. And we can trust Him to always be there. In conclusion today, I just want to share this, and this is the just a really important part I want us to get, and it's this, that faith is a choice and fear is an emotion. Our faith in Christ is what must guide our actions through times of uncertainty and not our emotions. You see, we live in a day and age where everybody's driven by emotions. Oh, well, I just don't feel like I love him anymore. And so we see it all the time in celebrity marriages and in people. Like, we're just looking for that feeling. I just want to be happy and all these things. But the reality is our emotions can mislead us and misguide us. Faith is a choice. And so I challenge you today, I challenge me myself today, that we choose faith today over our emotion of fear. And faith, that faith needs to be rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. It can't be faith in our government. It can't be faith in our bank account. It can't be faith in the CDC. It can't be faith in any of these things. Our faith has to rely in Christ Jesus. And when that is where our source of strength is, where that is our stability, then we cannot be shaken. I love what John Newton wrote. He said this. He said, "If the Lord be with us, we have no cause of fear. His eye is upon us, his arm over us, his ear open to our prayer, his grace sufficient, his promise unchangeable." Now, some of you may be listening today or watching online, and perhaps you're wondering, how do you not have fear? How do you experience what we're talking about today in this hope in Christ Jesus? I often say it's the easiest, but also the most challenging thing you'll ever do. And I encourage you where you're at today. If you don't know Christ, you simply acknowledge that you're a sinner. Acknowledge that he died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again on the third day, and that you want him to come into your life, into your heart, and to become Lord and Savior. Again, many of us have no problems with Jesus being Savior. The challenge is making and allowing him to be Lord of our life. Lord meaning he is in control, not us. And that's a challenge. That's an ongoing challenge for all of us. But I encourage you, if you prayed that prayer today, to tell somebody, reach out to us. Send us a message. Let us know that you prayed that prayer. Leave us a comment. We would love to get some material to you. We would love to connect with you and help you begin your journey and your walk with God. For those of you today who are watching, who are Christians, who profess to be followers of Christ, and maybe perhaps you've not walked this out the best way and during this time, maybe you've been consumed with fear and worry, I understand. And I want to acknowledge that today. And I just want to be sensitive to what you're feeling. Because again, one of the things I think that where we make a mistake as a church is sometimes we pretend and we put on our mask that we're okay. It is all right to admit that you're struggling, to admit that you're dealing with fear. And that's the first step. It's laying down our pride. And it's really saying, I need help. And so I would encourage you today, if that's you, that to go back to Scripture, to read your Bible, and to spend time, more time in the Word than you are on your social media or watching the news, because you need to be built up in your spirit. You need to remember that your God, the God you serve, is very big, is much bigger than whatever crisis we're facing now. And you see, as our image of God gets bigger, the image of our problem and our crisis, so to speak, gets much smaller, because we serve a great and mighty God. And so I encourage you today to remember how great and good God is. As we finish up our time here, I want to pray for you. And I just want to just say that we love you here at Long Grove Community Church. If you call this church home, or even if you're just checking us out online, we love you. And we're praying for you. We're praying, those of you who we know who you are, we're praying for you by name, our staff, our leadership, our elders. We're praying for you. We're remembering you. We're reaching out and to each and every one of you. And we just want to journey through this together. We need one another. God did not intend us to be alone or to walk these things alone. And that's where, especially those of you who are maybe single or you live alone, it can be very lonely and it can be very concerning. And even with this isolation, it gets hard, doesn't it? But just know that we're in this together. And while we can't physically be present with one another right now, just know that we're here with you, we're remembering you, we're praying for you, and we love you. So would you pray for me now as we wrap up? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time today. I thank you for each and every person that's watching. I thank you, Lord, just that you are there present with them, just as you're present here in this place, that there's no distance in the Spirit. And God, I just thank you for this, that we have the means to share and to be online, that we can connect with one another through messages like this, through video, through Zoom group meetings and things like that, Lord, just for the technology. God, I just thank you that we are just walking this out together as your body, the body of Christ, as the church. And God, I pray that where conviction was needed today, I pray that the words landed there and did that. I pray that we continue to just press in deeper, Lord, into your word, into our walk with you. God, I pray that we're able to be a light to those around us. God, as we walk this out, maybe while we're not sure about everything, but God, that people just can sense and see that there's a peace about us in our spirits that is unexplainable. God, I pray that you open up opportunities, Lord, to share the good news of the gospel with people and who you are. So God, I thank you, Lord, that for each and every person that's watching today, I thank you, Lord, for the homes, Lord God, that are represented. I pray that your hand of protection be upon them. God, I pray for anyone here that's been infected. God, I pray just for healing in their bodies right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, I just thank you that you are with our leaders in government, Lord God, as they continue to navigate this and to try to do what's best for our nation. God, I pray you give them wisdom and guidance, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for all the medical workers, Lord, that are on the front line, that are risking their lives, Lord God, to help others. God, I pray that you just keep them safe, that you protect them, Father God, strengthen them, Lord God. And God, I just thank you, Lord, that while times like this come and there's no way that we can stop that, God, that you are constantly at work behind the scenes. And that, God, on the other side of this, Lord God, we have the opportunity to be better, to be closer to you, to have our faith strengthened and grounded, Lord God, in a way that it wasn't before. And so, God, I pray that you just work in our lives and in our hearts through this time. God, I pray you bless each person watching today. God, I pray that you've spoken to them today through your word. Thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. We love you here. I love you and praying for you. And I promise you, as soon as we get the green light to be able to meet again, we're going to have a great get-together and great party.